morning. I'll just pray before we begin. Thank you, Word. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. We pray we would be built up by it. I pray that my words would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've had a little bit of time to reflect this morning on Father's Day already. I didn't receive a can of air. I did get a pen that says number one dad and a stubby holder that says world's greatest dad. So if you came second, commiserations. Sorry. Of course, it is Father's Day. It might be hard for some. If you didn't have a good relationship with your dad, maybe it's more important that today is the first day of spring. And that's something to look forward to. And it is beautiful out there. So I better not talk too long. We've got to get out and enjoy it. But Father's Day has given me time to reflect on what it means to be a father. And not just on what it means to be a father for me, but what it means to have a relationship with my own dad. What's that like? And I'm very grateful that my dad did love my mum and my sister and me and continues to do so. At the same time, as I grew up, I had a few questions about Dad that didn't... Some things I wasn't sure about. Why did Dad always listen to ABC radio for the news? All the time. Of course, now I'm older and if I want to know what's happening in the world, where do I turn? ABC radio news. I knew I was in my 30s a while ago because I was listening to 774. My next question was, why does Dad always get me to hold things so he can fix them when I was a kid? And always during your favourite TV show. He would come and get you to hold something so he could fix it. Get a clamp, Dad. Of course, now that I'm older and I've got some kids, I realise they can be quite helpful and they can hold things for you while I fix them. I had another question about my dad. Why does he barrack for Collingwood? Of course, you've got to draw a line somewhere, don't you? There's some places where you go, no, Dad, you've got this one wrong, and you move on. Of course, when you really realise where dads are coming from is the day when you become a dad yourself. And I look back at the birth of three daughters and you start to realise how much you can care for a kid and how much they matter and what it really means to be a dad. I'll admit that at the time I was scared. I was scared not just because, oh, there's a whole lot of responsibility coming, because I hadn't realised how much responsibility was coming. I was scared because it's a painful time. Mums can attest to that. It's a difficult time, this time of labour. And I went to Bible college, and at that time, one of the fellow students, he became a dad, and this is very rare these days, but his wife died in childbirth. So I was aware of how dangerous a time it could be. So it was quite scary and difficult, and of course it was always the middle of the night when each of them was born. I was so tired. It was so tough for me. But at the end of all that difficulty and pain and wonder, and is this new life, and it's just wonderful, and it's a joy, and it's a joy every time when I come home from work and see my girls, and they go, actually one of them's one, and she goes, yay, which is good. But there's an invitation to this new life and a great relationship with the greatest Father of all, Father God, and it's in this passage in John 14. And I want to talk to you about that today, that invitation we have to this awesome life of joy with our Father in heaven. Now, I've just mentioned that difficulty and that pain and that trouble of labour followed by this new life. That's kind of what's happening in John 14. It's a real difficult time. And Jesus can see the other side, but the disciples can't. They're troubled. You don't say to a group of people, do not let your hearts be troubled, unless they've got troubled hearts. And you can imagine why. Jesus has predicted there'd be a time where he came and died and was mocked and spat upon. But they kind of didn't quite get that. It didn't sink in. And you can imagine why. They've seen a whole new world coming into existence. They've seen people who had no sight given sight. They've seen the lame walk. They've seen the poor and the hungry fed. They've seen a dead man who'd been dead for 3 days risen to life. They've seen this awesome power and they want to be part of it. But they're not so sure it's going to happen. Because if Jesus is so powerful, why isn't he making justice happen now? Why is he letting these things happen to him? If Jesus is so powerful, why doesn't he stop himself dying? They might even doubt themselves. Just before this, in chapter 13, you've got the news that one of them is a betrayer. And then Peter stands up, well, I'm not going to betray you. I'll stand by you to the death. And Jesus says, you won't do that. You'll deny me. So maybe they're not only doubting God, but themselves. It's a tough time. But Jesus wants them to look beyond this. You do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you? I am going to prepare a place for you. There's a place that they're going to be with God forever. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Whereas Jesus, he has the relationship with the Father. He wants them to have what he has. It's so good. He wants the best for them. That's what dads want, isn't it? The best for their kids. I know my dad wants the best for me. I knew us growing up because he didn't make me barrack for Collingwood. Now, I'm just joking here. Well, not really. He knew that that was a life of pain. He did. It might say, I'm going somewhere with this, trust me. He'd been through those difficult years in the 70s. Before I was born, there was a certain game in 1970. Collingwood was the best team all year. They could not be beaten. It was amazing. If you're not into football, just imagine how happy these group of people were that their team was so wonderful. And they'd gone to the grand final against Carlton. They couldn't be beating. That was so wonderful. And they were up at halftime by about 40 points, somewhere like that. My dad was there and looking forward to the victory barbecue they had planned for the next day. And of course, it all fell apart. It was the dark, troubled time for those fans, and they lost. They lost. And I think maybe as I was growing up, Dad wanted me to experience more success and joy in my life. And so he let me barrack for Hawthorn. But the point was, Dad really did care what's best for me, because he would take me to the Hawthorn games even though it wasn't his team. Because he wanted me to spend time with him. That's what really mattered. It wasn't the teams. It was that he wanted us to spend time together, and sometimes I'd go along to the Collingwood games and even hope his team won, and sometimes they did. But the point is, he wanted what's best for me. And Jesus wants what's best for us, and he says it's a relationship with God. Nothing can beat that. Thomas gets it. He says, Lord, but Thomas has a problem though. He wants that. He's in this terrible place. This place, this room that you prepared for me, awesome. Can I go there now? Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? I think this happens in life. If you're a Christian or even if you're not, there's times in the journey where you just wish you weren't here, you were somewhere else. You wish maybe God would come back and sort everything out and fix it now. Jesus' answer to Thomas, though, isn't an easy one, but it's a good one. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I'm going away to prepare this place. I'm going to ensure that you have a relationship with the loving Father that can't be taken away. And I am the only way. Now, that's not a popular thing to say in our society, that there is one way to God. I think our society would like it a bit easier, that as long as you're a good person and all the good people go to heaven, that'll be good, won't it? But I think if we're thinking like that, we haven't realised how loving God is, and that he is a truly loving father. Because if a father really loves his children, he's going to care about everything that happens to them. Is that not true? If a father really loves their children, he's going to care about everything that happens to them, and he'll want justice if anything bad happens to them. You get a great picture of this, of God's love for his children and his concern for justice for them in Genesis 4. In Genesis 4, Cain has killed Abel, and this is not good, and God's not happy. He talked to both boys before. It's just like a dad. Talked to them, just try and sort it out, but they've gone away and done their thing. And Cain's killed his brother. And how we hear about it from God's perspective as the loving father is when God goes to Cain and says, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Every time one of God's children gets hurt, every time a sin hurts another person, it matters to God. Every time we hurt someone with thought, word, or deed, it matters to God. He's a truly loving father, and there's got to be a consequence. I know this in a very earthly way. It happened this week. Emily, my oldest, since she's not here, I can say this, she was really upset because the six-year-old, Olivia, had been mean to her. And she was concerned that Anna and I, my wife and I, were just going to tell Olivia off and not do something. She knew that this mattered, and if we really cared, there'd be a consequence. Well, in the Bible, the consequence for our sins is death. When we impact upon other people's lives in a negative way, it adds up, and the punishment is death. And if God is going to be truly just and truly loving, then the punishment is death. That's kind of tough. The good news, of course, is that Jesus is the way for this punishment to be faced. It is the good news of Christianity. Jesus himself, without sin, not deserving this punishment, goes to the cross. That's where he's going. That's why he hasn't made the authorities do what he wants to do. That's why he's going to die. It's because he's powerful and because he's loving. And Jesus loves the Father and trusts his plan and dies on the cross in our place. It's the great good news of Christianity. And I love it, actually. Christianity doesn't make it easy and sweep bad stuff under the carpet. Rather, our God is completely just and at the same time completely loving and sends his Son to die in our place. Now that, of course, demands a response. How are we going to respond to God's actions? What he's done in Christ, in this relationship he's secured, how are we going to receive it? By faith is the simple answer. And I think that's what I've done as a Christian, is I've accepted that and I trust that God will forgive my sins in Christ. But now how do I respond to that as a dad? Is that the great truth I want for my kids? That's a tougher one. When I think of what I want for my kids, it's been a challenge as they're growing up. Something amazing happened to me as a dad. I've got kids who are good at sport. When I grew up, I used to come third last in the cross country. Emily comes home, I won the cross country. Whoa. As an Australian dad, this is pretty exciting. And she's good at kicking the footy. I'm still glad she's a girl, but she could have played for Hawthorn. When she was three, she was drop punting the ball around. And she'd get upset if she couldn't do it properly, because she did it properly most of the time. And I thought, wow, so I want my kids to use this opportunity. They're good at sport. I want them to make the most of it. Something else has happened. We've inherited a piano. I never learned a musical instrument, and I know the music team here needs people to learn musical instruments. Is that true? Yes, though they'll take kazoo. And I want her to have that opportunity, and I want her to do her best at school. And my prayer life has really underlined what I want for her, because as I come to school, it's a big long drive. I come on the freeway. Sometimes I just want to listen to the radio. But I try and make a time where I pray for them. And I've noticed what I pray for them is that they'd be safe, that they'd learn a lot at school and that they'd have fun. But what this passage has challenged me to pray is that I would be praying they would know Christ, that they would know God and live for him. And that's a tougher one to pray, because I work at a school and I know that if you actually live that out, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be teased. And I think students in particular are aware of that, and they're probably not as aware that a lot of their fellow students actually have some kind of belief. And they might not get as teased as much as they imagine, but it's something I've got to pray for my kids. So I guess the challenge today for our dads, but not just for dads, mums, dads, parents, kids, everyone, is do you want that loving relationship with the Father? And is that what you want for the people you know? As dads, we're at times going to struggle with life and with our own battles, and watching our kids fight their battles in life too. The best thing we can do to help our kids through is encourage them to look to their Father in heaven to see them through that. If we focus on him, we'll see joy through the struggles. The dad that comes to mind for me, who really does this, is a dad who started doing it before he was a Christian. At the church where I go to, one day this dad turned up with his two daughters, who at the time were in primary school. He just turned up out of the blue, brought them to Sunday school, and I didn't know what was behind this. as I got to know him, it was a really interesting story. He had married a Muslim woman, and his faith had wavered. If he had a faith, he sort of grew up going to church. But along the way, he'd become an alcoholic, and he was addicted to drinking. And he couldn't find a way out of that. He tried everything possible. Eventually, he went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and one of the steps they have is you pray. And interestingly enough, that was when he actually gained control over this problem. He was no longer drinking. He'd started praying. And so he realized, I need God in my life and I need my kids to know God. So the next step for him was to take them, since Mum was Muslim, to Islamic school. Now they found that tough, the two girls, because they had to learn Arabic by rote. And it wasn't really working. And he thought, but they've got to know God. This isn't working. So then he thought, oh, well, I'll go with my background and I'll take them to the Church of England, to the Anglican Church. So he brought his daughters to Sunday school. And thankfully, they loved it. And they loved hearing about Jesus. And they got baptized. And it's really interesting as you speak to them. These girls have no doubt that God can do miracles and do amazing things. The oldest one talks about not knowing her dad. He would go in the shed and drink. And then in prep, all of a sudden, he appeared. He started playing with her and doing all the things dad should do. And it was because her dad was praying, and he told her that was why it was. She used to go to prep and tell her fellow preps, my dad doesn't drink anymore. And they'd look oddly at her. What's that about? But what a step of faith. He knew God mattered. And even though he didn't know all the details, and even though he didn't know the one way was through Jesus, Jesus knew it. It might seem like an exclusive claim and there's only one way, but hey, God's got millions of ways to get people there, to understand it. And I just learned from his example, you've got to care about your kids' relationship with Christ. You've got to care about your own relationship with Christ. So I want to ask everyone here today, not just the dads, do you have the joy of an intimate relationship with your Father in heaven? And are you living it out in your life now? Are you taking the opportunities God gives you to share that joy with others? And dads, are you sharing that joy with your kids and encouraging them in their relationship with their dad in heaven? Because there is no greater joy.